Good morning. It's good to see you guys this morning. I'm not going to hug you, but it's good to see you. So, just kidding. Not really. No, it's it's a crazy world. It's a crazy world. It's a broken world. Some things in my life that have really helped me handle or even just comprehend some things is one is to just try to trust and have faith and understand what God's sovereignty is, that he truly is in control. And also the fact that God does not work in time like we do. I mean, you know, we are finite beings. He's infinite. We hear scripture that says his ways are above our ways. So that's true. I mean, our minds right now are kind of going, all right, Chris, let's get this going so we can get to lunch at noon, you know, or go home at noon, whatever. I mean, that's the way our mind works. But God sees everything above time. So he's not surprised by anything that happens. He knows everything that's going to happen. And another truth is that I believe God is guiding history for his glory, right? Like all history points to Jesus Christ. So this broken world that we live in, this sinful broken world, he uses everything that happens to point people to Jesus, right? So as children of him, as a follower of Christ, he is my father. I come to him and say, Lord, protect me and you love me. I am your child. But also as the church and the body of Christ, we come and we say, God, use whatever happens to reach more people for Christ. And so we pray that and we, yes, we might have to deal with fear or anxiety, but we trust God. We trust that he is our father, that he loves us as his children, and that we also trust and pray for the bigger picture, that people will come to know Jesus. And so we come that way as a church, and thank you for being here this morning. And we are going to continue in the book of Galatians. So open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 18 through 21 this morning. Here's the great thing about expository preaching. You know, we are an expository preaching church, and that means we don't really have these kind of big sermon series, and you know, we have our graphics for what book we're in, but you know, we're not walking through 6 weeks of this topic or this kind of thing. And what's great about that is not only do we get the central truth of these passages that we look at week by week, sometimes just several verses, sometimes just a couple of verses, but not only do we get the central truth, but we also, that truth is nestled in a complete progression of thought. Maybe it's a chapter, maybe it's the entire book, but we get that, and we call that the context, okay? So hopefully, over the years, if you've been here very long, you're understanding why we do that, that we look at individual passages, we see the truth that comes out of that, what God intended to be that truth, but we also see it in the grander context of that chapter or that passage or that entire book. And so that's why we are constantly saying we advise us not to take verses out of the context, that we understand what is going on. So we see that in our own lives too, don't we? When someone tells us a little bit of truth about something, and yet it's taken out of context of a bigger picture, don't we get confused sometimes of what real truth is when we take something out of context? Thankfully, I'm so thankful that our media doesn't do that, that we can trust it implicitly. But here in Galatians chapter 5, we are working through many great truths of Scripture. And it's all part of a progression of thought from Paul, given to Paul by the Holy Spirit, as he wrote to the churches at Galatia. So we're coming to a couple of really powerful sections as we look at the, you know, the works of the flesh, as we look at the fruits of the Spirit, and we see all this. So I want to kind of just quickly remind us of this progression of thought. So if we look back, so you got your Bibles open, right? Okay, chapter 5. So look up to the beginning of chapter 5, okay? So kind of walking through this a little bit. Paul is reminding the church that in Christ, they are truly free, okay? In Christ comes freedom, freedom from that enslavement to sin. And if they are truly free, why would they go back to the yoke of slavery which is the law, or we've talked about as legalism, okay? Remember what legalism is? Legalism is, okay, some things, they might be good things, and they try to make those the essential, so it's lifting those things up, and we kind of get into this list of do's and don'ts, and we start becoming prideful and judgmental, and it's taking good things and making those things essential. So he's reminding them of this. He reminds them that things like circumcision or uncircumcision count for nothing. And what really matters, if you look in verse 6, the second part of verse 6, what truly matters is faith working through love. What is essential, what truly counts, is faith in Jesus Christ, and then that faith expressed in our love for Christ and our love for others. Okay, so he's reminding him that. This is kind of that thought process through chapter 5. He realize that, hey, they were running well. They had started out well, but they have been sidetracked. They have been swayed by a false gospel of legalism. Someone has come alongside and said, you know what? What about this? What about this? This is what we think, and they had been swayed. They had gotten their mind and their eyes off of the truth of the gospel. They'd been swayed by a false gospel of legalism. So then Paul goes on in verses 13 through 15 to remind them about how important freedom in Christ is. Okay, but then he gives a warning. He says not to let that freedom open up an opportunity for the flesh to come in and then destroy the precious community of Christ, the body of Christ. And so then he gives us the answer. He gives us, like, how do we not destroy the body of Christ? How do we not let the flesh come in and destroy this community? And the answer is, if you look at verse 13, second part, you see, through love, serve one another. Okay, so we talked about that a little bit, what that means to truly serve each other, to truly love each other. We talked about the dangers of the flesh and how we let those things in and how that attacks and tries to destroy the community of Christ. Okay, so then we ask the question, okay, but that's hard. Why, you know, you tell us to love each other, but that is hard. You tell us to not let the flesh come in, but this is like this daily battle. That's very hard. And so we see the truth that we cannot do that in our own power, right? You need to love each other. You need to serve each other. You need to battle against the flesh. Well, we can't do that in our own power. We must have the power of Jesus. We must have the power of Christ in us. That power is given to us as the gift of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Paul says, okay, so how are you going to battle the flesh, which is a serious daily war? How do you, through love, serve one another? Well, you must, verse 16, walk by the Spirit. So there's the answer. How do we truly battle the flesh? How do we love each other the way Christ would want us to love? Then we walk by the Spirit. Verse 16, the very first part of that verse. Okay, so then we ask the question, so how do we walk in the Spirit? What does that mean? We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. We do this by patterning our lives after Jesus. Well, how in the world do we know how to pattern our lives after Jesus? We must be in God's Word, right? He's given us His Word. We must know His commands. We must saturate ourselves with the Word so that we can know how to live. Also, we trust and we believe that Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, is sufficient. Okay, we've got to believe that, don't we? We've got to believe that we cannot do this in our own power, but we trust and we have confidence that the Holy Spirit is sufficient to overcome the desires of the flesh. We believe, we have confidence in Christ, that Christ in us is sufficient to have victory over the desires of the flesh, this battle against our old nature. And so we asked the question of ourselves last week, do we truly believe this? I think we have to ask that. We can say, it's like, oh yeah, Christ in us has a victory. Okay, yeah, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to walk the way we're supposed to walk. Do we truly believe that that is sufficient? Do we have confidence in this? Okay, so here we are. So now Paul continues in this process of thought, and over the next several verses, what he's going to do is he's going to give us a comparison and contrast, okay? A comparison and description of what the desires of the flesh look like compared to what the fruits of the Spirit in our lives look like. And so this morning we have the the joy of tackling the desires of the flesh, okay? Okay, so much fun, right? Let's read Galatians 5, 18 through 21. Let's pray that God speaks to our hearts, helps us to understand it, and see this great encouragement that comes from this and great truth that comes from that. So starting in verse 18, it says this, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." That is a very important verse. Now, verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Let's pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your incredible love for us, that you would love us so much to send your Son to die for us. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, in Christ, we do have victory over these fleshly desires, that there is victory, that the Holy Spirit is sufficient, sufficient to overcome these fleshly desires. And so as we look at this morning, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us with the gospel, that you would encourage us with your love, that you would convict us of those things that we need to turn over to you or to seek repentance of. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. We thank you for the freedom to be here, and I thank you for this body of Christ as we gather to give you all the glory and to seek you and your truth. I pray for just that the gospel would penetrate our hearts this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we look at this, these kind of passages we don't like to deal with, right? Because they're just these little sin lists, and here's why we don't like to deal with them, okay? Here's the reason you skip over these in your Bible, and you see them coming, you're like, no, okay, let's go on. Here's why, because you know and I know that we can check off most of these things on this list, okay? Let's be honest, all right? We don't want to deal with them because we know as soon as we read it, we're like, oh my goodness. Okay, so I want us to get some things in our mind as we look at this, okay? As we look at these verses this morning, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, if Christ has saved you, I want you to keep a few truths, a few biblical truths in your mind as we grapple with these verses, okay? The first one is this. Remember this. As we look at these lists, as we look at this and we are convicted by them, remember this. God loves you, okay? God loves you. Remember this. As you look at this list, remember, as believers, we are saved by his amazing grace. It's nothing we could do. We can't live by checking off things on a list and hope that we don't do everything so that we could be saved. It is nothing we can do. It is Jesus Christ. It is his amazing grace. Okay? Here's another truth to remember. Christ died once and for all, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Nothing you can do. Nothing can snatch you out of his hands. You cannot lose your salvation if you've truly been saved, okay? You can't have your salvation one day and then mess up on this list another day and lose your salvation. This is truth, and you need to remember it, okay? Remember this as we look at this list. The battle against the flesh is daily. And we are daily. Because we are still living in a broken world, awaiting that day, that time to be with Christ for eternity. And we have his righteousness now, but we also wait for that righteousness to be with him. Remember this, okay? God's word is truth. It is breathed out by him, and he has used Paul to speak his truth. I know that in our minds sometimes we look at Paul as a super Christian, but Paul tells us that he was saved by grace. Paul tells us that he was the chief among sinners. And even after his life change, he still battled against the flesh. He still struggled with sin, yet we can still trust this as truth because it was the Holy Spirit working through him to give us this truth. Okay? So as we look at the works of the flesh, we are guaranteed to be convicted if we're really going to look at it. All right? We're going to be convicted. I look at this list and like, okay, yeah, we're going to be convicted. And that conviction, what's so great about it, that conviction leads us to repentance, correct? And that conviction leads us to praise the name of Jesus for taking on our sin. And that conviction leads us to worship Christ for his most amazing grace and his complete forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. That's a big word. So what Paul does here in these four verses is he does what he does a lot of times. He gives us bad news, and then he gives us the most incredible news, okay? He's a compare and contrast kind of guy. He's like, this is the bad news, but Jesus, right? I mean, it's just awesome. He constantly reminds us of what we are without Christ. He constantly reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but then he always brings us back to the truth of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness, there's salvation, there is joy. It's because of Jesus. So in these four verses, he gives us some bad news, and then he gives us some good news. He gives the church a warning of what it looks like to succumb to the desires of the flesh, but he gives us that incredibly great news for those who are in Christ. Okay? So we're going to start with the bad news. All right? Let's look at the bad news. That is verses 19 through 21a, and then we're going to come right back to verse 18 and be reminded of this great news. Okay, so look at verse 19 through 21. I'm going to read that again, and just so we can be reminded again. Okay, so verse 19 says this: Now the works of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh, they are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And here's the warning: I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we can spend a lot of time, okay? We could spend several weeks looking at every single one of these sins, okay, individually, right? And we could, you know, look at them as the works of flesh, but that's not what we're going to do today, okay? We're going to look at them briefly, but here's the thing. This central truth of this passage is not about legalism, okay? It's not about looking at every one of these sins and then making a list of do's and don'ts on how not to do those sins, okay? This is not making this list as it pertains to each of these. This, really, the truth of this passage is about a heart. It's about a heart matter, okay? This really comes down to understanding grace. This really comes down to our confidence in the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is sufficient to overcome these areas of life as we battle them daily as believers. The truth of this passage is not so much about all of these sins and the big list of legalistic things on how to do them and not to do them and how to, you know, that's not what it's about. This is really about the believer's right standing before God the Father thanks to the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Because legalism takes this list and pulls it out of context and says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, this is how you not do this, this is how you stay away from this. I mean, those are all good things. Those are all good things to put, you know, safeguards in our life and all that stuff, but that's not what this is about. This is about a right standing before God the Father, and the only way that we can have a right standing before God the Father is to have the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ cover us. Salvation in Jesus. Because if you think about this, what we just read, this list pretty much is a snapshot of our lost world, isn't it? Okay, right? And this was written thousands of years ago, but it still pertains today. This is a snapshot of a broken and lost world without Christ. And every day we battle against something on this list. You might go, man, I am doing really well with the first four. And then you go through a season where you're just struggling with the second six or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We learned something last week, and it's a game changer to our life, our Christian walk with Christ. And that is this. We can't win against this list in our own power. You can try. You can go home tonight and break down every one of these sins and make a list of how you're going to not do those things. But you're going to have to get into every part of your mind. It's not just a physical action. It's in our mind too. We can't do this in our own power. You can try, but it comes down ultimately to Christ in us. It comes down to our focus and our heart. It comes down to saturating ourselves with his truth and having confidence that the Holy Spirit can have victory and overcome these things. So let's briefly look at we don't want to just skip over anything, but let's briefly look at what is on this list. Okay, so the first three, these are rampant in our culture. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Rampant in our culture, and they've been only rampant for the last 20 years of this world. They only became rampant with the invention of the internet, right? No. Guess what? These three things, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, they have been rampant in every culture since the beginning of time. Agree or disagree? Agree, right. All you got to do is look back at Bible time, you look back at New Testament, you look back at these pagan cities that Paul went into to start churches and what they were doing in their temples, and we're not going to get into all that stuff, but you go back all the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, you go back all the way. This stuff has been going on for thousands of years since the beginning of time, since sin entered the world. This has always been a battle, and it will always be a battle. And this is why the church can't like shove this stuff under a little box and put it in the corner. It's like, well, we don't deal with that stuff. No. We need to be talking about all this stuff, right? This is why teenagers and children should be talking about these struggles with their parents. This is daily stuff. This is why men should be talking about it. This is why ladies should be talking about it. We should be talking about the battle of these things because they've been around forever. Just remember, sex, passion within the boundaries of marriage is a beautiful thing. And Satan has wanted to pervert everything that was good. And we can't bury our head in the sand because we've got to battle this stuff every day, right? But we can't do it on our own. See, legalism says this: you can do it on your own. And if you're truly a Christian, you will do it on your own. And if you're not a good Christian, then you're obviously failing. But we're not going to talk about it at church because only good Christians come to church. And good Christians can fight this battle on their own. And then we just bury it, right? And that's not healthy. That's why you should have a fight club partner. That's why you should have a prayer warrior partner. That's why you should be talking with your spouse. And you should be talking with your children. This is why you battle these things. And it all comes back to, we can't do this on our own. It's only Christ in us. Power of the Holy Spirit, power of prayer in our life, saturating ourselves with the Word. We've got to battle it every day. Idolatry and sorcery. Now you might be going, all right, I'm not into sorcery, you know. But here's the truth. Do we put other little gods before the one true God? We do this every day. We do it every day. It's like, oh, I'm not into witchcraft, and I'm not going out to the woods and sacrificing things and whatever, you know. Good, I'm off that one. No, we put little gods in front of the one true God every single day. And we have to fight and battle our priorities. We have to fight and battle our activities and our time and our material possessions. We got to battle it every day. Now again, legalism will give you a list of what you can and can't do. You can't do that. You can't buy this. You can buy this. You can't spend your time doing this. You can't go play golf because that takes at least 4 hours, so that's a god. That's not what this is about. This is not some list of you can't and you can. This is about a heart. It's about an understanding that the sins and flesh that we battle daily and what the ultimate consequences are as we face the judgment of God. This is about where our heart is. And there might be things in your life that you need to adjust, but you can only do that by seeking the Lord, spending time with him, allowing Christ to change your heart, to be led by the Spirit, keeping your eyes on Christ. And so maybe, yeah, there might be something in your life that's personally like, I got to stop doing that because it's taking my time away from this and this. But that's a heart thing. This is not a big list of how to do and not to do these things. This comes down to our ultimate facing of God's judgment, and do we have Christ? And as we battle this here, are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives? All right, the next group, these kind of all go in here. If you thought you were good with the whole sorcery thing, get ready, all right? Get ready. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. All right. You made it past sorcery. Have you made it past this list? I don't think so. All of these deal with relationships. We pretty much realized in our men's group last week that, you know, most of us as men, we haven't done great with some of these, okay? We're seeing that, right? All of these deal with relationships, things that can ultimately destroy marriages and relationships in the community within the body of Christ. How many of us have already failed at all of these so far at some point, at any point in our life? Yes, we have, because these are the desires of the flesh and we battle them daily. Talked to one lady who was an older woman at one point, and she did tell me that she, after she came to know Christ, she never sinned again. And I didn't believe her, but that's not truth. We are righteous because of Jesus, and when God looks at us, this is what blows my mind, is when God looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness, right? That is a miracle. That is something I praise Jesus for. But as we wait to be with him, we battle against the desires of the flesh. We battle them daily. And we're going to see the good news here in just a minute, how all this comes back to Jesus. The next group, drunkenness, orgies, and then I love this phrase, I'm going to stop writing the list. I'm just going to put, and things like these, right? I mean, basically, that last phrase means this list could go on and on and on, which means it's really not about a complete list of sins, right? Paul didn't set out to go, here is every sin that you're going to battle. This really comes down to the judgment of God, okay? The bad news is in this warning, and that comes in verse 21. And this is the kind of verse that scared me as a child when I would read these lists, okay? Because they weren't explained to me, because the truth of this context of this passage wasn't explained to me, all I saw was a list, and I knew that I checked off some of those on that list, and then I saw verse 21, which says this, and I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world? I checked off that yesterday. What does that mean? What does that mean that I will not inherit? That's okay, so here's the deal. That's the bad news. Kids, listen up, because this scared me when I was a kid. Teenagers, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was saved when I was 8 years old, okay? When I was 8 years old, so I did not come out of the first 7 years of my life as a habitual drug user, okay, at eight. And so I came in from the Christian family, you know, I was trying to do the right thing, and then I hit junior high, and I hit puberty, and I hit all these crazy things, and I began to become an adult. And so when you become an adult, you go out into this world, and you see this brokenness, and you struggle, and you have temptations, and then I would read this list, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord. Am I going to make it to heaven? Am I truly a believer? You know, am I the only one that did that? Okay, or maybe we're still, I mean, you guys are looking at me like, wow, Chris. You had some problems. By the way, I'm going to get up. You're a preacher, I don't, you know. The bad news is this. By the way, okay. If you have ever done any of these things or even thought about doing these things or even part of one of these things, under the curse of the law, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. That means if you've ever sinned in your life, under the curse of the law, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what Paul's talking about. Remember this whole progression of thought? Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to the curse of the law, because if you go back to the curse of the law, you have to do everything perfect. You have to fulfill the entire law without ever messing up. If you do that, if you are under the curse of the law, if you are under law, the law, you have to be perfect. And if you've ever done anything wrong, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you ready for the good news? Look back at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's the good news. If we're not under the law and we're led by the Spirit, that means we have the grace of Jesus Christ. We have salvation from that sin in Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven in Jesus Christ, which means we're not under the law, which means we can inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. If you have been saved by God's amazing grace, you have the righteousness of Christ. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you have Christ in you, you are not under the law, which means you are not under the curse of the law. And the wages of these sins and any sin is death from the curse of the law. But in Christ, we have freedom. Remember, that's what Paul is talking about. He's like, in Christ, you have freedom. Freedom. You have been saved. Yes, we still battle these sins, but in Christ we have freedom. And the good news that we're seeing is that if we are focusing our mind on Christ, if we are saturating ourselves with the Word of God, if we are meeting together and battling and fighting in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is sufficient to have victory over these things in our life. We have the power in Christ and the Holy Spirit to battle against these sins daily. Todd Wilson sums it up like this. He says this: the Spirit is sufficient not only in our daily battle against the flesh, but also in our pursuit of entrance into the kingdom of God. I mean, in Christ we have salvation. We will be able to stand before God's judgment, and guess who God sees in us? Jesus, right? He sees Christ. He sees the righteousness of Christ, because Christ did on the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus, his blood covers us, cleans us. There is a consequence to sin, and that is judgment. That is the death that comes from being under the curse of the law, because to live under the law means you'd have to fulfill the entire law, but we know that's impossible in our own power. But guess who? There was one who fulfilled the law completely, who never sinned. Who was that? Jesus, right? And that is why he, and he alone, was able to be the sacrificial lamb for all of us. That is why his atoning work on the cross is sufficient to redeem those who call on the name of the Lord to be saved. This is good news, right? This is good news. We come into this place and we read a sin list like this, which is not complete, which is why Paul at the very end says, and things like these, more things like this. We read this and we go, no, I can't. I've checked off some of these things. I've never been perfect in these things, and we have no hope, because under the law, the wages of sin is death. But we find hope in who? Jesus Christ. This is the good news. For those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved from their sins, and they will have freedom in Jesus Christ. This is the kind of news that we shout from the rooftops, right? This is what we do. It would be embarrassing to have a bunch of marker boards up here and we all come up and start writing all the stuff that we've ever done. It'd be embarrassing, right? It should be, because it's sin. We should be embarrassed of that. But we could come up here and we could write as small as we could and just try to list as many things that all of us in this room have ever done. But those who are in Christ, we could then come with that red marker and write redeemed across the entire thing, right? Isn't that cool? This is why we praise him with our voices. I want you to listen to some powerful truths. These are some scriptures. You want to write these down. If you want to just write the reference down and go back and then read them and meditate on them. But listen to this, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once, to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Romans 10:9-10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We can't boast in our salvation because it wasn't our work. It was Christ's work. And I know you know this one. Do you believe it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves you. He loves you. And we come sometimes with the guilt and conviction of sin, and sometimes we just need to be reminded that God loves you. And if you've been saved by his amazing grace, you've been adopted into his family. His family. You are a child of God. You get to call the God of the universe, the God that knows everything, the God that knows everything that's happening in our world right now, the God that totally is not surprised by all this stuff that we're dealing with, the God that has completely controlled history through all time, that created everything, the heavens and the earth and the universe, everything, the God that is above time, that just the God who is in control. We get to call him Daddy. That's amazing. There are some here that need to be saved, that you are feeling the call of the Holy Spirit. You've maybe felt it for a while. You're hearing God's word, and the Holy Spirit is calling because you for salvation in Christ. You can't get yourself cleaned up to come to him. You come as you are in faith. There are many of us in this room that are just convicted when we read a list like this, because we know we're believers, yet we know that we check off most of these things on our list because some of us struggle with believing in the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit to have victory over these things. We need to walk by the Spirit. We need to repent. We need to fix our eyes on Christ. We need to pattern our life after Jesus. We need to saturate ourselves with his word. This passage is not about a list of do's and don'ts that some religious leader or parent or teacher has come up with. Okay? That's not what this is about. It's about a heart for Jesus. And the only way that we can get a clean heart is because of Jesus, the power of Christ, his redeeming blood. And as for believers, it's about a trust and confidence in the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Amen. I am. Let's pray. God, thank you for Christ. Thank you that we can read a list of sins and be completely convicted because we know where we fail. But those in Jesus Christ can stand before God and his judgment and be seen as clean only because of Jesus. Thank you. Lord, as believers, let us strive daily to have trust and confidence in the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit as we walk by the Spirit, as we battle these, trusting we can have confidence that there is victory. Those that you are calling, I thank you that you're calling them. We know that all the work of salvation is you. So we just trust that the gospel has gone out, that the gospel has heard and that the power of the gospel is working in people's lives. And I do. I pray daily that you would save more and more people as you call them. I know that this time in history, this is not a surprise. This is we trust in your sovereignty, and we do. We pray that people will turn to you and that we will be there as believers to point them to the only true hope, which is in Jesus Christ. We love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.